Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Radio, and you can find our podcast at ultimatesportstalk.com, along with the beautiful Erica Lynn Anderson out of California coming back home. Oscar Lopez here. We have an exciting show today, Gridiron Blitz. We're going to be featuring the WFA final. We have Nenji Martin here. We have Adrian Smith. We have the top quarterback in the finals here going into it, Allison Cahill of the Boston Militia, and the running back of a year ago, the amazing Whitney Zealy. So in a couple minutes here, we will dive into the No Joke Football Huddle and dive into the WFA National Championship scene for the weekend of August 2nd in Chi-Town. It's going to be an exciting weekend. This week, this past weekend, yesterday, the Independent Women's Football League Finals, sponsored by the Women's Football Foundation in Rock Hill, South Carolina. The undefeated perfect season happened for the Pittsburgh Passion as Lisa Horton, Amy Fallon, and Lauren Ferragano, Coach Wall, and Sharon Vasquez. Perfect season. So 11-0, Pittsburgh Passion. They win the Independent Women's Football League Championship versus the Houston Energy. Energy came in really high-powered, and unfortunately they were bested again this year. Last year they were beaten 14-0 by the Carolina Phoenix. This year, 41-7. In the last two championship finals, that have been outscored 55-7. Hats off to the girls at the Energy, Jen Welker, Alberta Britson, and obviously the send-off for Odessa Jenkins. So congratulations to them for a great season. Unfortunately, they came up way short in the final against a much improved Passion team from a year ago from the WFA, now in the IWFL, the team to beat all season, and they proved it in Rock Hill, South Carolina, as the Pittsburgh Passion is your 2014 IWFL champions. Second title for them since 2007, so it's been 7 years since they won the last title, and they did it yesterday in fashion. And as well as the weekend, you can go to the WFF Championship Week, get the results of the All-Star Game, the Hall of Fame Banquet information that was there, the Toledo Troopers honored, as well as the Manitoba Girls Football. So, Erica, great football weekend. We got one more weekend in the U.S. Scene, so it's going to be exciting championship. Yesterday, Pitts undefeated 11-0, and they obviously are crowned the champions of the Independent Women's Football League.
I saw that. That's exciting, and I also thought it made history because there was it the first all-female officiating crew as well? Was that right?
That is correct. All officials in the championship game were female, and one of them was, I believe, Mrs. Cantu, if I'm pronouncing it right. She will be obviously introducing to herself in the NFL as well, I think.
Nice. Exciting. Very cool. Well, congratulations to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Passion, I mean, they were the team to beat. We talked to Lauren Ferragano last week, and so we've also chatted before in the past with Sharon Vasquez, so very deserving. And then Lisa Horton with her 10,000 historic yards, that's kind of fitting for her to end it on a good, solid note and a perfect season undefeated.
Right, yes, and not always does it, you know, when you make history like that, does it, you get to cap it off for the championship as well. So I'm sure they feel very excited and can relax a little bit now that the game's over.
Now, before we go into, you know, diving into the WFA, we got college season coming up, and I know gridirongirl.org is pretty big on college football. So tell us a little bit about what is happening now as we're prepping towards the college season.
Yes, very excited. Me and my partner, Nicole Brown, who is the Oregon Duck writer, we got to take a trip to go to Pac-12 Media Day in L.A. this week, this past week. So we are going to have our interviews. We were able to interview coaches and players from the Pac-12. Very exciting stuff, some insights into, you know, the UW has their new coach, Chris Peterson, got some insights into kind of his era coming up here, and Nicole has some great insights into Oregon and, you know, Stanford, UCLA. So if you are fans of college football or fans of teams in the Pac-12, I urge you to go to our site, gridirongirl.org, and check that out. My UW blog should be up shortly, and I'll be able to have those interviews up. And Nicole has already written, already has an article up about the Oregon Ducks and kind of some information she gathered at Media Day. So definitely go check us out. You can find the links on our Twitter, at gridirongirl.org.
Awesome. So, and then you also have the tailgating recipes coming up and getting ready for, you know, an exciting time of college football. So that's going to be very exciting this year for the most part, especially with the Pac-10 restructuring. It's going to be kind of like the second year in, so we'll see how that works out for the scene.
Yeah, exactly. Utah, we got to talk to some Utah players and didn't get to talk to Colorado much, but you know, insight into, you know, Utah has a very successful program before they joined the Pac-12, and obviously they have some growing pains after joining the big conference, and kind of insight into how they're going to kind of get back into that era of championships and really successful football in Utah. So, and we also have a fashion shoot coming up, so definitely keep an eye on that. We're going to have game day fashion stuff, which every lady loves. So, check it out.
Awesome. So, the other mentions here, the Sugar and Spice Football League schedule is at the end of its wing. The season's about to end. July 26th, yesterday, was the Mermaids taking on the Vixens. We'll get results as we get them up. Next weekend, August 2nd, Sugar and Spice Football League, El Paso Envy, last game of the season versus the Loretto Roses. You're also going to get the All-Star game on the 16th of August, I believe, and the Super Bowl final to be determined at this point based on standings. So you can go at SSFL Football on Twitter, or you can follow them on Facebook at Sugar and Spice Football League on the search bar. The other league that kicked off 2 weeks in now, and we didn't mention it last week because we were getting results tallied up, the LMFL, which is the Liga Mexicana de Football Lingerie, and they're kicking off their second week. Last weekend, first weekend, 46-6 Sunrise, the defending champs. Last week, they take care of Ciclones as well, 66-6. So we will post the results as we get them in this week on our Twitter feed and as well as update on Facebook for the latest sound. And that's 2 weeks out. Next weekend, August 2nd and 3rd, you have the big matchups again. Eagles taking Ciclones. Sunrise faces Crux Fire. Valkyria is taking on Amazonas. The Tigres against the Crushers, and you got the Leopardos off for that weekend. So we'll keep you posted on that league as it progresses through the semifinals, which is going to be, I believe, August 30th and 31st for the season. So the Pretty Girls Football League, a Pretty Girls Football League final is Evil Queens versus Cougars. We will get that on Facebook and Twitter, give you the update on to the logistics there and the festivities that's going to be happening down in Mexico for that weekend. The WFA final is what we're focused on. I want to mention the LFL season is about to end. Yesterday, Seattle punches their ticket, stays alive, 21-18 against the Las Vegas Sin. Danica Brace's last game, as we were told by her, and Jessica Hopkins as well, so we'll see how that works out. Now Seattle faces the LA Temptation August 2nd. Must win for both teams. Whoever wins advances to face the Chicago Bliss. If you missed the Chicago Bliss versus Green Bay chill game, is still on YouTube at the Legends Football League on YouTube. So you got up to date on some of the other leagues that are happening. So let's stay with the focus. And the focus today is the Women's Football Alliance National Championship, which is going to happen in Chi-Town August 2nd. home of the Chicago Force. We're hosting the event, and you're going to have a Alliance Bowl, and Scott McCarron, Seattle Majestics, first time they have an Alliance Bowl. It's kind of a constellation game for some of the top teams, and we're going to have Seattle Majestics taking on the Indy Crash August 1st, the day before the national championship, so that should be pretty exciting, and as well as the All-Star game. So let's go into the huddle, Erica. No Joke Football Huddle, sponsored by Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties, where you can get your No Joke Football brand, tees, hoodies, leggings, daily specials. Customize your stuff there if you need to. The largest women's gridiron shop that we know of at this point, and Zazzle has named us the best shop in their football wing. So congratulations to us. At the same time, congratulations to the women's game.
Nice.
Because we're making some strides. So let's go to the huddle. We have the former Team USA champion, two-time champ, as well as national champion, Nenji Martin from the Surge. We also have, from Boston Militia, their quarterback, Allison Cahill, their running back, Whitney Zeeley, and, of course, All-World as well, 2010-2013, Adrian Smith, wide receiver. Ladies, welcome to the Blitz. I'm in California. Erica is in Wyoming. Welcome to the Blitz.
Hi there. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, ladies, big game next week. What did you guys think of, let's start with Nenji, what did we think of yesterday about the passion ending, the undefeated season? A pretty exciting season for the IWFL.
I think it's great for women's football. The Pittsburgh Passion has been a great organization over the years. I'm happy to see them come out on top. I'm sure it was a great game. Unfortunately, I didn't get to catch it, but you know, I know a number of the players from the Houston Energy as well. And I just love good competition within women's football. It's what makes our sport better. So, you know, hats off to both teams, and especially to the Pittsburgh Passion for pulling off a great victory.
Now, Nenji, you've been in Finland. You were, you know, obviously with the Team USA team. It was kind of exciting this week, this year, that the Women's Football Foundation put together sort of a National Football League Super Bowl type of weekend. Unfortunately, it doesn't get the fanfare that we want yet, but at the same time, it was very exciting. We had a Hall of Fame banquet. We had we were honoring the Toledo Troopers from the 70s era. We were also honoring the youth that is going to grow this sport, hopefully within the next couple seasons, with the Manitoba Girls Football Program. So it was a huge moment for, I think, for the sport, and it's really a huge stride for the women's gridiron game in the U.S.
Totally agree. I think that it's amazing what's happening with women's football over the years, how much support we're gaining. Being over in Finland, seeing the number of fans that came out to all the games that were held during that tournament was fantastic, and I can only hope that here in the U.S. our fan base starts to grow. Having youth teams, I think, is going to do huge things for women's football. So it's just exciting. It's great for our sport, and, you know, I'm excited to be a part of it.
Now, we have three leagues in Canada now expanding. We have two, technically three in the U.S. as well, because if you consider the Women's Spring Football League as a third league, which you should consider, but the big top two, the WFL, IWFL, now we have the WWCFL and as well as the Maritime in Canada. So North America, I think, really is going to start to make strides with Team USA and Canada in the final at the World Game. 2017 seems like it's going to be more competitive, more skill set, in other words, because you have the World Games coming up in February again, the second showing of the World Games with USA Football. So now that USA Football, and you know, we got to thank obviously Sam Rappaport for doing an amazing thing going forward with helping out the women's game. But I really think this is setting the bar or the standard as to how we can elevate this game a lot better.
Yeah, well, first off, standing ovation to Sam Rappaport for all that she's done for women's football and supporting it both here in the U.S. and internationally. She is a huge player that a lot of women's teams and a lot of people in women's football just don't know about. And she's done wonders for our game and for getting us out there and creating a supportive culture for women's football. I know that myself and Adrian and pretty much anybody who plays women's football both here in the U.S. and internationally wants to see all those teams growing and getting better. So the more support we get from other countries, with Canada having leagues now, it's about competition. It's about good competition, and it just makes me excited for 2017.
Now, Ninji, you've played in championship games. You played in the biggest stage there is, obviously representing your country. Houston yesterday was on a tear before they met the Passion. Was it just an off day, you think, for Alberta and Jen and Odessa? Because it looked like yesterday Houston was just meant to be. I don't know if that's how you want to put it. It was just meant to be, I guess.
I'm sure it was a little bit of an off day. You know, there's lots of things that go into football, strategy, coaching, player mentality. So I'm sure there was a number of different things going on. The only way you can look at it is the better, more prepared team came out on top. You know, I know a lot of the players from Houston, and they're athletes. They're you know, MVPs. They're all-stars. And so I'm sure that team was ready to fight, but Pittsburgh was just too much, and it seems like it was sort of meant to be for them this year.
When I was watching on the broadcast, I've seen Gallegos, I've seen Guidry, I've seen your squad. When it's rocking, based on footage that we've seen in game film, pretty unstoppable. And yesterday, the combination of, falling with the extra points, you got the offensive line protecting Horton, Coach Woe at right receiver, Shan Vasquez, it just seemed like they were not going to be denied. And putting up 41 points against a very good Houston team, I guess this speaks volumes for Pittsburgh. They were just very revved up for this game.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, I played against Horton in an all-star game, and she picked us apart. I mean, one day of practice with half a team she didn't know, and she kind of made us look silly. But she's a phenomenal quarterback. They have a lot of great players on that Pittsburgh Passion team, a lot of great coaches. So ownership there. You know, it's one of those things. Football is a game of inches. It's a game of minutes. It's a game of seconds. You just have to make each play, and the team that makes the most plays and executes is going to come out on top. And, again, yesterday that was Pittsburgh.
Now, let's talk about your season before we go to talk about, with Allison and Adrian and Whitten here. Let's talk about your season.
Okay.
We talked to Christina. Bumpy roads every year, but the end result is you're here. You guys are, one step away from another championship, especially from 2012 when it was at Heinz Field, which is very historic. So how are you guys feeling right now? You guys are motivated at this point, and you guys are getting ready and revved up?
Definitely. We're all really amped up for this game. We're definitely motivated. I think that you have to keep perspective in that, yes, it's a championship game, but it's really just another football game. And so you can't get too caught up in the grandness of it all. Otherwise, you start to lose focus of what you're actually here to do, and that's to play football and make plays and make tackles and run hard, catch the ball, do all the things that myself and Adrian and Whitney are born to do, and what we've put our time and energy in for the last, 5-6 months. It's preparing for this game and this moment is to go out there and play football at the highest level that we can and hopefully come away with a championship.
Awesome. Erica, you got anything for Ninji?
I guess I'm curious as to obviously the playing in the women's game can't be the easiest just with you guys not getting paid and you guys have to kind of manage two different lives there. What kind of advice maybe would you give to a woman or kind of a younger girl looking to get into the sport? And just how to manage things and balance her life.
If you're doing what you love, it helps keep you balanced and it helps keep you happy. So for me personally, football helps me in everything else that I do. It's a great way for me to just blow off some steam when I need to. And so any young girl who comes to the game, I encourage her to get into sports, to get into football. My girlfriend's 7-year-old is going to be in her first year of tackle football, and she wants to do it because she's seen me play. She's seen her mom play. She knows the players from the San Diego Surge, and it gets her excited about the sport of football. And that's what we want, is we want young girls to be excited about the sport of football because it's not a men's game anymore. It's it's an American game. It's a world game. It's something that everybody can do and everybody can enjoy. And so just find an outlet for it, whether it's flag football, full contact, pick up with your friends, you know, a co-ed youth or a co-ed flag league. Just get into it. Have fun. And if it's really something that you want to do, we all find ways to make it happen. We all find ways to afford it. We all find ways to get on that field and compete and call ourselves football players.
Nice. And so, we've talked to other female football players who, you know, asked them about their plans for coaching, and they said their brain doesn't quite work that way. Is that something you've thought about in the future? Is that something you'd be interested in doing?
I'm actually going into my 7th year coaching football. I coach at San Diego High School. I'm the varsity wide receiver DB coach, and then I'm also the JV head coach there. So I've been coaching high school football for about 5 years now. And I love it. I love being able to give back to the sport. I love just working with young athletes. And what I found is that they respond to your football knowledge. It doesn't matter if you're a male or a female, old or young. If you know football and you can teach them something and help them be more confident and get better, they respect it. So I would encourage anybody who's interested in coaching to get into coaching. I started in youth football, and it's a great way to get into it. And to I think it's actually made me a better football player because it's helped me understand nuances of the game, schemes. You know, before I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to run and hit somebody. And now I understand angles better. I understand why defenses work the way they do, why offenses work the way they do. And so for me, coaching has, I think, elevated my football game. And so I would definitely encourage anybody who's interested in it just to try and get into it and give it a go. As long as you, like I said, understand what you're talking about and don't try and BS the kids, they respond really well. They respect football knowledge.
Nice.
All right.
Really cool.
So, Nenji, are you guys at this point traveling? Are you guys going to need some support with travel expenses? Go to the website. Where can the fans engage in helping you guys out to get to Chicago?
We are always looking for support. As you know, everything comes out of our pockets. So if you go to sandiegosurge.com, you can donate to us there via our PayPal link. And anything that people can donate, $5, $1, $10, helps us in our cause. It helps support women's football. I'm sure the same thing for the Boston Militia. Any way that people can support women's football, we all appreciate, because if they don't show up to the game, we have nobody to play, and it would be, you know, nobody wants a win by forfeit. Everybody wants to compete and get that win because they beat somebody else. So, you know, if people want to donate to the San Diego Surge, look us up online, look us up on our Facebook. We have links where people can donate, and we always appreciate fan support.
Now, this game is huge. You are, it's kind of a rematch game in a lot of ways.
Yes.
It's in Chicago, of all places, which is a big-time city.
Yep.
You're on ESPN3. If you didn't know it now, you know now. You're on ESPN3. So what is it going to mean to you if you win again?
It's huge because every year is a new season. Every game is a new game. So just because we won in 2012, this victory will be – just as sweet, if not sweeter, because we're a new team. We have some of the old players, but it's a new team, it's a new season, and when you win that championship, it shows everybody else in the league that you've put that time in, you've worked harder than everybody else, you've earned that ring, you've earned that trophy. And so it would be a phenomenal victory for us as a team because we've been working hard all season.
Now, Nenji, you guys, I talked to Christina. You're not a historic team by no means because, you know, you've been in existence for a short time. But
Right. Given
what you guys have done in a short term, I mean, this is an unbelievable organization to begin with. And everybody's had their ups and downs, like you said before. But overall, how is the San Diego community? I know Santee's probably your pride and joy there. But how is San Diego receiving you? You know, in a way where now, you know, if you do win again, obviously two national championships.
Yeah. Well, big shout out to Chris Carrillo and Melissa Gallegos. They've done a great job with ownership of the team. And, you know, I helped them out last year. I did a lot of the team stuff, running everything. And so I think that for the Surge to be where we are has been huge as far as community support, because everywhere we go, people embrace us. They, you know, welcome us, and we've had just, you know, an outpouring of support from the community in that, you know, they recognize us. You wear a Surge shirt and say, oh, I've heard of the San Diego Surge. You guys are awesome. I've been to a game. You guys are great. And so I think that San Diego is a huge sports town, and so they embrace the teams that come through here, especially when you win, and we've been very successful. And so I think that's, you know, helped that. But San Diego's been great. You know, it's a great town to live in, play in, and the Surge is a great team to play for.
Awesome. So let's move on to Boston. Erica, I will let you take the lead because you're the big New England Patriots fan. So you have your Tom Brady of the WFA, Allison Cahill. You got your running back, Whitney Zeeley, who had amassed over 2,000 yards last year. And you have all worlds, always tough to beat, Adrian Smith. So, Erica, this is your somewhat New England Patriots.
Yes, I have a soft spot for all of Boston sports, so I'm pretty happy that Boston is in it. It doesn't particular, you know, matter which Boston sport it is, but very cool. Congratulations, ladies. That's a great accomplishment. I'm not real well-versed in women's football. I've been learning a lot, but I'm sure kind of coming up against Chicago from everything I've just from what I've seen so far, is they were kind of the giant to slay. Did you guys feel like that at all coming into the game?
Allison, let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was definitely a personal rivalry, having faced them the previous 3 years in the conference championship. And, you know, we won the first year, and then they beat us two consecutive years. Faced San Diego, of course, at Heinz Field. That one definitely stung, missing out on the opportunity to three-peat and play at Heinz Field. And then, you know, the following year also losing another tough game out there. So I think we were looking forward to having a chance to face them again with so much on the line, and, you know, having faced them in the regular season for the first time this year as well kind of heightened the rivalry. And we earned the right to play them at home this time. It was the first time that they had to come here. And I think we did definitely rise to the occasion and played one of our best games of the season at just the right time. But, yeah, definitely them being the defending champs and coming off an undefeated season, they were, as you said, the giants to slay. But now we're on to a whole other challenge. So that's in the past at this point.
Right. Any special preparations for you guys coming up into the, you know, kind of, obviously this is a pretty important game. Is it anything special you guys are doing, or just kind of business as usual?
I think we're sticking to our same plan that's gotten us to this point. I think extra film study because San Diego is an unfamiliar team. We haven't played them since 2011, and, you know, as Mindy said, they're a different team, and so are we. So trying to get caught up on what they've been doing all season and continue to do what's worked well for us and put the final touches on everything and do what you did all season to get yourself here and rest up and get all the travel things situated so that you can just focus on football primarily. But not the time to bring anything brand new into the mix. Just do what helps get you here.
Right. So being the quarterback and kind of a leader of the team, do you feel a lot of extra pressure that maybe some of the other women on the team don't feel?
I don't think so. No. You know, it's when you're doing something that you love, it doesn't ever feel like pressure, like a chore. And, you know, as anyone else on this call could tell you, I mean, I think there are a lot of cliches in sports, and pretty much every sport claims to be a team game. But, you know, in baseball, a pitcher can dominate, or in basketball, a LeBron James type player can kind of take over both ends of the floor. But, I mean, it's 11 on 11, and you're just one piece of the puzzle. You know, you really can't do much on your own. And I think that's why two such, you know, great teams have gotten here. We, of course, both teams have standout players, but at the end of the day, we're the best 30, 40, however many deep you are on your roster. So, no, definitely no added pressure.
Okay. Now, let's see. Adrian, right, is another one of the Boston players.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played in Chicago at their field before?
The militia since 2011 and went through that victorious win in 2011 and those two hard losses in 2012 and 2013.
Okay. So is it, like I said, you guys are going to have to forgive me for a little bit of my ignorance here. So is it difficult playing, let's say, in Chicago? Does it take extra for you kind of playing a big game away from home like this? Does it contribute to the nerve factor at all?
I don't necessarily perceive it as being more difficult. Traveling does take a toll on your body, but also when we do travel, everyone is completely focused on football. You're away from your job, you're away from any other distractions that may exist where your hometown is, so you're able to be more focused. I think the positives are obvious in terms of playing a home game. You have your fans there, and there's that support, and there's that familiarity. If I had to choose, I'd always want to play in Boston. But for me personally, either way isn't harder. It's just playing away. You do have to be a little more focused.
Oh, good. So you personally don't feel like maybe the unfamiliar external stimuli, they're not a distraction. You're able to kind of just buckle down and laser in.
Right, because what's interesting, playing in Chicago was no longer foreign because we had to do it 3 years in a row, 2011, 12, and 13. So it was kind of like we were used to being in that space, in that field.
Okay, well, that's good. Like I said, I was a little unfamiliar with some of the team history, so that's probably good for you guys to be able to play in a somewhat familiar place. Oscar, you have anything?
Yeah, Whitney, let's dive into Whitney here. Whitney, you had a massive, year last year, and this past game, you know, in the conference championship between you and Allison, it was just tear-up mode. You guys is like on a vengeance mode. So tell us a little bit about, the run game, the offense that worked in this game this past weekend.
Well, I mean, I think our coaches prepared us really well for Chicago and their defense. So beyond the usual film, really we just tried to stick to our guns. You know, our O-line has been amazing this season, opening things up for, you know, our running backs as well as Allison. She's had a lot of running touchdowns and a lot of rushing yards this season. We did still go to our pass game, really taking advantage of their corners. I know Adrian had some great catches in the game, really put us in a good position to score more touchdowns. And really it was just a lot of game planning, a lot of game planning for Chicago and just giving them the right offense to really put points up on the board and take this one home.
Now I'll start with Allison and then go on to get feedback from the three of you. Did the neutral game, you think maybe that was a psyche mentality for Chicago because they didn't do well that game? And I know they had injuries. And, you know, not a normal quarterback. Sammy wasn't there yet. Mixed shift quarterbacks. How was the neutral game, Allison? Was that, you think, an advantage to get in their heads this year?
I think it was just, I think, you know, we both knew that basically whoever won that game would probably ultimately host the conference championships. So, you know, going into it being on a neutral site, I think it was technically a home game for us, which is interesting because it was a further trip. And it actually made it pretty cool because, you know, neither team really had many fans. It was kind of like, okay, let's put on our uniforms, let's put a football out there, some referees, and, you know, let's just see who comes out on top. You know, Adrian spoke about the pros of being at home and kind of the added focus that you need on the road, and that kind of neutralized things from both angles for both teams. And it's kind of like reminded me of those soccer games in Europe where, you know, there's no fans there because of, unfortunately, some bad circumstances. But it's just like, okay, again, like I said, let's go out on the field and play the game and without all the distractions and see what happens. And, you know, yeah, they didn't have their quarterback, but we were also missing the reigning MVP of the league and other players. So I think, you know, it came out as a pretty fair game. And, you know, being able to secure that home field and have them come here for the first time was great. It was a big boost to us at a critical point in our season.
Yeah, and you had a good game this on the conference championship, like Whitney was saying earlier. How was that? You know, how was your your enthusiasm that game? I mean, you were literally scoring at will, and you know, for us, you know, just watching tweets and trying to get the game highlights, you know, off the feed and everything. For you guys to completely somewhat dominate this game early against Chicago, it was really unexpected.
Yeah, like Whitney said, I think we have such familiarity with them and felt like we didn't play a full game the previous 2 years in the conference championships and for whatever reason, and of course giving them credit for what they were able to do and take us out of things the previous 2 years. But, you know, I think like Whitney said about the offensive line, I mean, they have been so solid all year and, you know, they make things easy for us if they do their jobs well, which they have and they did. And, you know, on top of that, our fans were amazing that game. I think they understood what it meant to us to have a chance to play Chicago at home. And our defense was also just brilliant that game, coming off the D.C. game when they struggled quite a bit against a really, really strong D.C. offense. We fed off them and our fans and each other, and, you know, the score ended up being what it was, but it was by no means easy. It was the result of a lot of hard work and preparation.
Now, Adrian, I'll go to you. Everybody that follows, we gave you the underdog tag. Do you think that was fair?
You gave the militia the underdog tag? In that game against Chicago?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because I had the week before we had predictions from Nikki and Christina, and everybody was like, well, it's probably Chicago again, but, you know, technically, if you want to put it in good words, we didn't believe, but now we believe, of course. So the underdog tag, was that something that you guys, like, took to maybe thinking, okay, you know, you got beaten the last 2 years, now this is our moment?
That was absolutely inaccurate. No, I don't think any champion ever views herself as an underdog. I know I certainly don't. And no one on the militia, whether it was from top management all the way down to our little water girls, ever thought that they were an underdog. I think it goes back to what Allison said, that it was a battle. This is by no means, you look at the score and it's like, oh, what was it, 60-something points to 14, something like that. It looks like a blowout, but that was a well-coached team. The Force are determined. They wanted it as badly as anyone else, and it was a battle back and forth. Ninji mentioned football is a game of, you know, inches, minutes, seconds, and at no point in that game did we ever give up. In the previous 2 years, I think we only played a couple of quarters of football, but in this latest game, we were four quarters all in, and I think it goes to show what happens when the Boston Militia plays four quarters of football. This is the result that you're going to get.
Now, you guys are, you know, the equivalent of the Patriots fanfare here, because you guys have been in the final consistently for the last almost 4 years. So it says a lot about you and your team, and obviously, like you talked about, the fans. Adrian, what would this win mean at this point, after having the two setbacks the previous years? And obviously, it's not a big setback because you're facing, like you said, another championship team. This year, you're facing San Diego once again, and San Diego also on the road to rebound this year to the championship from last year. What is this going to mean this year for you?
I think this is I'm stammering because I get so excited. The passion I have for this upcoming championship game is enormous. It would be a huge moment in time for our entire team. Again, the coaching staff, management, all of our fans who've been there, even former players, some of them had to retire last year. We weren't able to bring home the championship then. I think this win is for so many more people than you're going to see wearing that uniform this coming Saturday. It would be just a continuation of the dynasty that the militia has been in the process of building. And as Ninji has mentioned before, we need these types of really good competitive games to bring a more positive spotlight to women's football overall. I know personally for me, I travel from New York to Boston, so this would be just a huge, I guess, the proverbial icing on the cake for me in terms of the commitment and all that I've had to put into this season, which isn't unusual amongst my teammates because there are so many of us who are sacrificing time, effort, money to practice, to study, and to participate in this sport that we all love. So I don't think, I'm going to Disney World sufficiently encapsulating everything that this win would mean for us.
Obviously, you're not going to get the prize trip, of course, but, the bottom line is it's a good squad. Whitney, what will this win mean? You get to that level, you overcome San Diego. You've been there before, like I'm telling Adrian here. What is it going to mean for you, Whitney, this year?
This year is different from a lot of the other years I played. And my rookie year, actually, I was walking onto a championship team. They had just won the IWFL championship. And then we won the WFA championship my rookie year. And so much has happened since then. I've seen players get hurt. Like, I've just had more experience in the game of football, more history with football, and I've been humbled by it. And just having that win would just mean the world. Like Adrian was saying, it's for so many more people than the players. It's for the coaches and the fans. And it would just complete a really amazing year. It would mean a lot.
Awesome. Now, Allison, you're the leader of the squad. When you talk about football on a pedestal, the quarterback always gets the blame or they get the praise. What will this win mean? Obviously, you fall short 2 years in a row. You've been here before. You have a long tenured history. I classified you as the Tom Brady of this wing. What will this mean for Allison Cahill if the victory is this next weekend?
We need to settle down on the Tom Brady comparison. Come on now. That's a bit of an
overstatement. I'm only giving this spot because Erica's a big Patriots fan, so I'm just trying to put some rubber in a little bit there.
We happen to play in the same zip code, and that's about it. But, like Adrian and Whitney said, I don't think it would necessarily mean any more to me than the last person on the depth chart on this team. We just have a really special team. We're scrappy. We're gutsy. We're, not the biggest team. You see us line up against teams like D.C. and Chicago, and coming off the bus, we're not that impressive. But there's something to this team, and I'm sure, Ninji would say the same about San Diego. And, the comparison to years past when you have won the championship and the years you've come up short, that every year is unique and, every year you start, at least when you play for an organization like Boston or San Diego, you expect to make it to this point. And when you don't, it's devastating. When you do, you expect to finish the job. So I enjoy the process, having started back in January, and this is just the final week of the process. And you want to finish it, and if you don't, then it's kind of back to the drawing board, and it feels like you didn't achieve your goal. So it would be special, and, that's the plan. We are both going into the game to win it. Nobody's going to have we tried our best kind of moment, and that's what makes it so great, because only one team can win, and, and it's going to be really competitive and hopefully great for everybody involved, from players to coaches to fans to, you know, observers all around the country. So it's going to be great.
Now, I'm going to pick your brains, you guys, because I have to pick your brains. So I'll start with Nenji. Nenji, LeBron goes to Cleveland. Does that save Mansell from having all the spotlight?
I'm going to go with yes, in a way. I think that with LeBron being there, the focus is going to be more on him. If, however, Mansell gets in early, everyone loves LeBron, but it's going to be the Mansell show. But I'm happy that LeBron's gone back. I hope that he does well there.
Now, Nenji, NFL has substance abuse. We got abusive players. We got symposiums. How do you see the sport from a fan's perspective right now, with all these off the field, you know, stuff that's going on? I mean, how do you see it? You're a football player. It's like a rage release after the fact. Or, I mean, how do you think a two-game suspension for Ray Rice? Do you feel that was warranted, or it should have been more lengthy?
Here's the thing. Football in itself is a violent sport, but you have to be able to separate football from off the field. You know, I, like so many others, don't really know what happened with Ray Rice. I think that his suspension was warranted. I can't say that he deserved more because I don't really know what happened. You know, in the video you see, it doesn't look great, but you don't see him physically doing anything to his wife. So I can't say for sure. I wasn't there. I haven't seen any videos. I think that he needed to be suspended to send a message that, you know, it's not acceptable for this to even be in the thought process with someone, that if you're even suspected of it, you're going to, you know, we don't want, the NFL doesn't tolerate that, but you can't suspend him for more than that without hard proof. And, you know, it just didn't seem like it was there.
Do you think Roger Goodell has done a good job in terms of curtailing all that stuff?
You know, that's a tough one. He's in charge of so much. I think there are some things he's a little too lenient on. It seems like there are some things where he just goes off the deep end. That's a tough job. I don't think that I would want to do it. But when it comes to violence and stuff like that, you have to be able to separate the game from the players and, you know, off the field. So I'd like to say you're doing the best job you can, but it's, you know, it depends on the situation.
All right. So, Allison, same question. Does LeBron save Mansell in Cleveland?
You know, I think LeBron, since he's there, ought to just suit up for the Browns and make it that much more exciting. I mean,
oh, here's
probably
the Cleveland
pull it
off,
right?
This is awesome. Cleveland Homer, this is awesome.
No, you know, I think with all the social media, it's so saturated. I mean, I think a lot of it is overblown. I don't envy those guys. I mean, believe me, I would love to have football be my full-time job and get, you know, handsomely rewarded for it. But the scrutiny and, you know, every move you make being put on Twitter or whatever, it's just a lot. So I am a big Mansell fan for what he did in college on the field. So I'm rooting for him as much as I root for any non-Patriots team to do well and to fly under the radar a little bit better than he currently is. And, you know, I think LeBron is going to attract a ton of attention no matter what. So, but, yeah, come on, suit up, LeBron. Let's see what you got on the football field.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, ladies, LeBron is going to be in the same boat that anybody else is. He's probably going to have a statue before he retires anyways in Cleveland. But it's fitting, I guess, you go back to where you were glorified to begin with. So, Whitney, LeBron, overly superstar, will he save the Cavs, or will he just take the spotlight from Mansell at this point?
I think it's tough. Mansell will definitely captivate his audience, as will LeBron. But LeBron will tug at the heartstrings just because of his story. So he may be the child that really can't do wrong. Mansell will probably be heavily scrutinized, which may or may not be fair. But LeBron, I think he works hard like any other athlete. I just have so much respect for athletes. So props to both of them, and I wish them both the best of luck in Cleveland.
Now, Adrian,
yes,
he's in the spotlight all the time. He leaves South Beach, and he goes to Cleveland. after winning all those championships, should we criticize this guy for coming back to maybe end his career and he's going to be put on a pedestal like Gretzky and everybody else that returned home?
Well, LeBron and I share the same birthday. So
yeah.
I cannot go against a fellow Capricorn. At this point, I honestly feel like the move for LeBron was strategic from a legacy perspective and also financial. I don't see him staying there longer than perhaps a year or two, waiting for his next contract to come up, and then he'll move to wherever the next best situation is. I think at that level, if you're not winning championships, there's really no loyalty in sports per se, because it is about, if you think about it, it's about, that's their job. And for a professional athlete, you only have a small window to make as much money as possible. So for me, it just seemed like a strategic move. He was going to get the best deal he could in terms of money. It would satisfy and placate fans and make people feel good. So from a feel-good perspective, that was smart too. But I see him moving on to the next one if no championships are won, and especially if he has phenomenal years there, or a year or two there, and the price is right, he'll go somewhere else.
Now, I'll pass the question because we're on a Cleveland love mode here. Is Cleveland going to be in the spotlight for the whole year? Allison, let's start with you. Does this elevate Cleveland to a Dallas Cowboys feature on NFL Network 24/7 for this season?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose, you know, the Josh Gordon thing is up in the air, right? So, you know, regardless of who they put at quarterback, I'm not sure they have all the pieces in place quite yet. But it is exciting. And, you know, the LeBron thing, I feel a little bit more like Whitney does than Adrian. But Adrian, she's a businesswoman too, so she's got that cold-blooded streak in her.
Thanks, Allison.
But I think it would be nice to, like, get away from the Lakers, Cowboys, Yankees, you know, top market teams, and, you know, Cleveland get a little shine for a little while, and hopefully that – you know, they have at least a decent amount of success on the court and on the field. You know, their fans deserve a little something, I think. But again, not when they're playing any New England teams. Don't get me wrong.
Well, if we can hook up Adrian Smith with Richard Sherman, I'm pretty sure it would be a classic event.
Agreed. Where can I get my ticket?
So, Whitney, what do you think? Is Cleveland going to be the talk of the 2014 NFL season here?
I think so. I think Johnny Manziel attracts enough attention on his own. And, I mean, if Cleveland were smart, they'd – I mean, it's that fine line between good publicity and bad publicity, but I feel like they may want to milk it for all it's worth in the sense of just drawing any extra attention to the city of Cleveland may help them out a little bit. Cleveland will be a big topic all year long, really, between basketball and football.
Yeah, and I think it was, like Adrian said, pretty strategic move. LeBron gets, you know, his just due. I think he contributed really well in Miami. You're either a hater or a lover. That's one of the two options that you have. So you either love the guy or you hate the guy. And if you hate the guy, I guess you're crying. If you love the guy, you're cheering. So that's how it goes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so ladies, Adrian, you got Gridiron Queendom still going on. Anything special coming on in the off season that any fans can dive in on Twitter and obviously on your social sites?
Yeah, so Gridiron Queendom, we're still moving strong. We're building up just kind of our infrastructure right now, and the plan is to really start reaching out. In terms of creating clinics around the country, I'm even also exploring perhaps doing some women's-oriented football clinics internationally as well. I think something on the horizon is the IFAS, the World Flag Championships, will be coming up, I believe, in a couple of months. They haven't really announced it. It was supposed to be held in Israel, but due to the situation going on there, they had to postpone it, and we'll reschedule it. And so we have the women's U.S. team trying to redeem ourselves from our silver medal finish in 2012. So that's something to look forward to in regards to flag football.
Awesome. Whitney, you got anything for the fans to dive into you? Social sites, what's going to be happening with you? Are you coming back? What's going on with Whitney for next year after the championship here?
I definitely plan on coming back as long as I'm capable physically. I plan on riding it till the wheels fall off, so to speak. So I will be back next year. I'm kind of lame, and I'm not all over social media, but you can definitely check out the Boston Militia website for any updates. They're pretty good about updating things.
Awesome. Allison, great to talk to you. Great leader. You got a lot of features. It's a pleasure to talk to you, all three of you, making the time for us. We really appreciate it. Nenji as well, thank you for coming on. Wish both of you the best of luck on the championships Saturday, and hoping that the best team wins, as Adrian has alluded before. Huge matchup here. I mean, the fans are really totally excited. We were excited yesterday. I think this is more exciting because it's on ESPN3. It is going to be televised in that manner. And it's going to be kind of a focus point for the league. Nancy, before we go, WFA, is it progressing to a higher state league? Because everybody feels that this is a superior league in the women's game. Do you feel that way?
The teams make the league. So when you have the top teams playing your league, that's the league to be in. And, you know, you've got two of the best teams in the U.S. competing Saturday. And so, you know, I'm happy to be playing in the WFA. I'm happy to be playing with the San Diego Surge, and I'm looking forward to facing off against the Boston Militia.
Awesome. So, Ninja, thank you for your time. Safe travels in California. Keep cool, because I know it's been hot out there as well. I know I'm up here in Monterey, so it's kind of been hot as well. So thank you for making the time. We wish you well on August 2nd in Chicago.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciated it.
No problem. So, Allison, Whitney, and Adrian, same goes here. Let's start with you, Allison. You've seen this league grow. Do you consider this maybe a superior league at this point with the better teams? Because you have a lot of top-notch teams, and this season was no different when you had West Coast, East Coast. You had D.C., you had Seattle, you had War Angels on the West Coast. You guys had on this side Chicago Force, a lot of the teams, Atlanta Phoenix. You had the Miami Fury from the South. I mean, there was a lot of competitive teams that came into the playoff mode. Do you feel like maybe the league is growing to a level where now this could be considered maybe the top-notch league in the U.S.?
I think, you know, the bigger question is how can we make one exceptional league? I agree with what Ninji said, and Adrian is much more in the know about the goings-on all around the country and internationally. Like Whitney, I'm not big on social media, so I kind of just keep my head down and focus on, you know, what I'm doing with the militia. But, you know, using the Pittsburgh Passion as an example, we were disappointed to learn at the beginning of this year that they had gone back to the IWFL because they were a great competitive game for us. So, you know, I don't have much insight into what it would take to get all of the best teams, but, you know, I agree with what you're saying. And to the extent that I'm familiar with the teams that you mentioned, I agree those are great teams, and I'm glad that we play in the same league as those teams. So that's definitely a sign of progress, and I'm happy, and I'm looking forward to playing the Surge. It's going to be the culmination of a really competitive season for us, having played Chicago twice, D.C. three times, and Cleveland was a formidable opponent as well. So, we need those types of teams, and I'm happy that we have that many games, competitive games.
Awesome. So, Whitney, the same thing. I think, you know, you've proven last year you're very top-notch. You were the top running back. This year, a little different scheme, but at the same time, you guys are still in the final. Most people just feel that the WFA is making strides, especially with ESPN3, that it might be the better league. So at this point, with the better teams, maybe?
I think, you know, all leagues are making strides. I think we're getting exposure, just women's football in general, whether it's flag or lingerie or tackle. I think along the same lines of Allison, it's you know, I feel like there's talent everywhere. There's so many talented women athletes. So it's a matter of sort of getting them all to be in the same place at the same time and really leveling the playing field in that sense. So I commend the WFA, absolutely. I know we're getting more teams every year and we're reaching newer audience. But I definitely feel like we got to get all the talent in one league and monopolize the system. But that would be ideal. But the WFA is doing a really great job. I love playing. I think we're fortunate as a Boston Militia to be playing teams like D.C. and San Diego and Chicago and getting that opportunity to really see highly competitive teams.
Now, Adrian, you're apparently in the know from what we hear. So at this point, is there a merger in your crystal ball where we get an NFL-AFL merger just to benefit the sport, or do we foresee still down the road?
I think your analogy is absolutely fantastic because women's football right now is where men's football was back in, like, the 1960s. We cannot really grow as a sport and as a whole with two leagues. I really implore the WFA and the IWFL to begin discussions. Each league has its strong points and has areas that could be improved. And what I find interesting is that it's almost like a yin-yang situation where one league might be weak in one area, the other league is strong in that area. So for me, I would love to see a unified league where talent isn't diluted and where we can pursue and secure large sponsorships from the Gatorades or the Under Armours of the world because at this point, divided, we're falling. We're hanging in there due to efforts such as Ninji and her management staff at San Diego, Boston Militia. Teresa Khan's fantastic with the Pittsburgh Passion, the Chicago Force. You have these individuals who are working so hard to maintain top-notch franchises, but their efforts are muted and aren't as powerful as they could be if we had, in my opinion, a unified league. So I will be claiming that until it actually occurs, that is where this sport can truly grow. It's not as if we even have to reinvent the wheel. And the NFL has served as a good example of the pitfalls and the struggles that two independent leagues face when trying to operate in one geographic area, and that being the United States. But when the two sides came together, then they were stronger. They created the National Football League, and it was a piece of cake ever since then. So I think the same thing needs to happen for women's football.
Now, we have, you know, excitement internationally because of, you know, Team USA and everything else. So I think the sport is growing with interest. And we're showing a lot of women are showing interest. You know, you got the UK with the BAFTA women. You got Europe, Italy, the Australia is booming to set up a team for 2017. So congratulations to you guys for being, you know, pioneers or front runners to elevate the sport to another level. And it's an exciting time to be involved and to be a fan and to be involved in this game. And to your point, once that happens and you sit down at the table and you become a merge type mentality, it will elevate. And you have the Women's Football Foundation sponsoring the IWFL. It's kind of a start. So now if you can combine, like you said, the two leagues, maybe at this point, you know, put together something where one is stronger and one can participate with other things, it comes together. So let's hope that happens. But this next weekend is going to be the championship. So Allison, Whitney, and Adrian, I wish you guys the best. Safe travels out there to Chicago. I hope you have a great time. Say hi to the Force for me. And at the same time, we wish you amazing, amazing luck because just like San Diego, it's going to be a tough battle, and you guys are always up for the test. So congratulations to you guys again for winning to the final.
Thank you.
All right, ladies. Have a great afternoon. Thank you for making the time. We really appreciate it, and thank you for supporting our cause as well. And we look forward to the August 2nd matchup and the ESPN broadcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, guys.
Thanks, ladies. Bye. Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye, Adrian.
Yeah, good luck.
Bye.
See you all soon.
See you Tuesday.
See you
soon.
All right,
bye.
All right, Erica, there you have it. Benji Martin from the San Diego Surge, former All-World as well and champion with the Surge. And then you got your, there you go, your New England wing, the Boston Militia, going for the national championship August 2nd in Chicago.
Yes, very cool to talk to all of them. It's always so hard for me talking to so many of these women for so many different teams because it makes it really hard to root for anybody because I talk to all of them and they're all so nice and awesome and it makes it really hard to root for anybody.
Yeah, and I thought it would be a great feel to bring you some New England love and just put together something like that. So I got you. I got you your little New England love tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I've been glued to training camp news about the Patriots. So, yep, it's been it was cool to talk to them to know, you know, they play for Boston. That's cool.
So now you know Boston Militia, New England Patriots. There you go. There's your women's fanfare, and they're very competitive team every year. Like they said, they finally got the monkey off their back and beat Chicago this year. But they have been in the last 4 years, they have been almost to the final, one step to the final, and unfortunately they've gotten beaten in short term, and I don't mean wiped out, but you know they've competitively gotten beaten. So very prideful team. Allison's an amazing quarterback. We talked about Whitney last year. She amassed almost 2,000 yards, so kind of the Adrian Peterson of the league last year. So you got a lot of talent, and Adrian, an amazing wide receiver. So like I said, you know, kind of the Richard Sherman of the cause there. So she's an amazing person. We've gone back and forth, and she's does a lot of great things for the sport off the field as well as, like she was talking about, internationally. So that's a key. Well, I think we're a little over, but that's no big deal because, you know, we make the time and we do what we got to do. So, Erica, anything last second here for the fans before we bail out here?
Just another reminder, if you're interested in playing fantasy football and you haven't ever before because you're intimidated or just don't feel like you know enough, definitely please contact me on Twitter at PatsyFanGirl12. I really would like to get a league together to kind of help out. You know, kind of get people some experience in a non-intimidating environment. So if you're interested, please let me know. The deadline will be coming up here soon. If I don't have enough people so far. So I'd like to get enough to get a league together. So just a reminder.
Awesome. So get in contact with FFNsGirl12 or at GridironGirl.org to get into a fantasy football league. Let's get it started. I mean, this is exciting times anyways. Preseason, let's get it moving and let's get it going. So let's make sure we tweet that out as well and get it going. For our side, we're making some strides. We want to thank Rich Brain out of Gridiron Photography out of UK in the United Kingdom. We are going to have a no-joke football shoot coming up soon, probably in a couple weeks here. We're going to be sporting that out. I want to thank James Johnson as well for doing the photo shoot with the gear from a couple weeks ago, an amazing photographer as well. We are hooking up with photography and for visualization of the sport because I think that's what's going to make an impact. So as we create revenue, you guys can help us out. GoFundMe.com/NoJokeFootball. You can get a dollar, $5, whatever you want to donate. Just donate there. Every dollar that goes there is going to go towards helping a player, a league, or marketing the women's gridiron sport. And right now, we are in need of help, just like anywhere else. And it doesn't take much money. Just whatever you can afford to give us, that'll be awesome. If not, tell your friends, tweet us out, retweet, anything you can do to do that. The Zazzle site, we want to thank Zazzle, the Zazzle company, for helping us out create our website. And we've been with them for a long time. They have amazing customer service. If you don't like it, they'll take it back. That's their guarantee right there, 100% satisfaction. And so you can go to Zazzle.com/GridironBeauties and get your no-joke football brand. There's daily sales there. Almost every day there's a sale of some sort. So go there, help support the cause. And we would love if everybody would just tweet anything women's gridiron, use the hashtag NoJokeFootball, NoJokeFootball, and let's get it trending on Twitter and social media, so we can bring an awareness to the sport. So for Erica Lynn Anderson, Oscar Lopez, it's been an exciting time. We want to thank Nenji Martin from San Diego Search, Allison Canheel, Whitney Zeeley, and Adrian Smith from the Boston Militia for coming and making the time today. We look forward to the championship game August 2nd, WFA Championship in Chicago, Boston, San Diego. So have a great night, everybody. We will see you here next week for another edition of the Gridiron Blitz, where you can find us on Blog Talk Radio as well as ultimatesportstalk.com. Have a great night, everybody. Bye.
Bye, everybody.